Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
The Around the NFL Podcast is the most interesting team in the NFC.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. Dan Hans is here. Got some heroes with me. Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. All right, I'm looking at it. Odds from a certain sports book as we hit week 11. Let's tick through some things, some futures here, okay?
Oh, actually, Roger Goodell has just entered the room. He's holding a machete. It's weird.
Not even like an underling. It's Rog himself.
Yeah, he's here.
Yes, Mr. Goodell, bear with me. I think we're allowed to talk about this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have entire programs built.
That's what I thought.
Just ask for forgiveness later on these topics, I say.
All right. The favorite to win Super Bowl 54, 56. It's getting a little tricky with these Roman numerals now that we're in the 2020s. Might want to circle back on that. Okay, go ahead.
Wait, I have to guess?
Who's the favorite to win the Super Bowl?
Well, I bet the odds are all very long. So favorite, but who has the best odds? I would guess the Bucks.
Bills plus 550.
Oh, that makes so much sense because they're in the AFC and they're the clear favorite.
All right, how about the MVP? I can't remember a more wide-open MVP race. We talked about it on the Around the NFL broadcast, which you could check out Saturdays on NFL Network. I went out on a limb, not really, when we got to our 2 minutes on the Bucks and said, hey, oh, Tom Brady's going to win MVP. And then he stinks out the joint. Well, not really, but his team did. And he took a step back. So the leader for the Associated Press MVP award, Mark, is?
I would go with Dak Prescott.
He is second at plus 700.
Well, shoot me in the head.
I will not do that. Josh Allen plus 200, the leader after
plus 200.
I don't buy that at all.
Jets.
That's so strange to me. Josh
Wide
Allen,
open.
I don't think.
Has he looked like he should be number one in that category?
I think he's on the borderline of a top five quarterback this year. I would probably put him sixth. So that does not make sense to me. Their offense is significantly worse. I think he could get there, though. There's like six or seven.
Here's your long shot here on this particular wager, if you were to do it, and it's not us. Pat Mahomes at plus 2,500. It's wide open, and maybe he gets hot and goes off. All right, let's see.
What's Kyler at there?
I like Kyler as a – I'd put some greenbacks down on that.
I know
maybe.
He's missed a
although
couple
I'm not
games,
allowed to.
People – in the end, don't care about missing games. If he comes back and is on fire down the stretch, I bet he wins.
Kyler is at plus 1,400.
Ooh, I like that.
It's Allen, Brady, Dak, Stafford, Lamar, Rodgers, Murray. Okay. A couple more. This is fun. AP. Now everybody's always, why are you saying AP? Because the NFL, and this will be changed, I think, soon at some point. It's the Associated Press's award. They give out the award. It doesn't come from the NFL itself. The Associated Press Offensive Rookie of the Year, as you might expect, heavy favorite is?
Jamar Chase. But what's my guy Mac Jones?
Excuse me.
Right now?
I take that back. Jamar was the heavy favorite. Now Mac is right behind him, plus 110 to 120.
I like a nice butt smack once in a while.
Oh, really?
Mark.
Okay.
That's
Defensive Rookie of the Year. Micah Parsons, a heavy favorite at -160 with Patrick Surtain the second behind him. Comeback Player of the Year. That is
even -160 seems like not a lot of juice to give up when there is no one else in the field. You're basically just betting that Micah Parsons stays healthy. There's no chance he does not win that award.
Greg likes that action.
I like that.
He likes that one. That's his lock. Dak's going to win Comeback Player of the Year, according to the odds. Coach of the Year. This is a good one. This is very close between three coaches.
Okay.
I would go Cliff Kingsbury. He's not my coach of the year, but that's one of the people I think would be
third.
On game day view, we talk coach of the years, and I love me some Matt LaFleur a week ago at +1400. That seemed crazy to me. Give me some LaFleur. Hopefully he's moved up a little.
He is now +1200, okay, which puts him at sixth. McCarthy at +500, and just ahead of the field, Mike Vrabel at +450.
Well, the process for coach of the year is a muddled, narrative-driven mess.
Here's what I'm saying. If the Packers,
well, that's how Stefanski got it last year.
He earned it. That was an aberration from what it typically is.
If the season ended today, I'm giving it to Matt LaFleur. Maybe I'm out of step with.
But that's not how it works, though, right? I agree. I hear what you're saying, but like it seems
right,
like
but
it's
going to
be.
I'm saying I think they could get a one seed, and they've overcome a lot. To me, they've had a great.
Wait, but
great
he's
job.
The guy that has Aaron Rodgers, Mike Vrabel. Look what he's been able to do with this team that everybody kind of is counting out.
Where is Sean
right
Payton
now,
anywhere
maybe it's
in there?
Vrabel. Fair enough.
Sean Payton is not.
He will not be recognized for this, but he's been a coach of the year type coach.
He's a great coach, Mark. Offensive Player of the Year, Greg.
Dismissive.
Cover your ears, Cooper Kupp. Defensive Player of the Year, Marky.
I think it'd be Myles Garrett. I don't think there's.
It is, +275.
I like a nice butt smack.
But that's still a fair long shot. For context, +275 would be like, my guess is like Washington's chances to beat the Bucks last week. It's still fairly long. That's fairly long odds there.
I don't like this one because he's been hot and cold in reality, but Trayvon Diggs at +300, T.J. Watt at +500, Aaron Donald at +9.
If T.J. Watt was healthy, he would be my pick right now and long term, but we don't know how long. He
over Garrett.
Anyway.
He would be.
Just that's what they're
well,
saying.
What about assistant coach of the year? Why have you buried that category?
Do they bet on that?
I don't know. I'm not.
Why has the desert buried that?
I remember 1 year Dante Scarnecchia got a couple of votes.
No, it's very pure.
It's messy and narrative-driven.
It's new. It's a newer award. It's very pure.
This is the Tuesday edition of the Around the NFL podcast. We will be previewing the first game of Week 11. That is Falcons at Patriots.
No, it's in Atlanta.
Oh, in Atlanta. Okay, so that makes it a little more interesting. We'll get into that game. Also, it's been a minute, but we will be checking in on some butts. Mark has already mentioned butts multiple times on the show in the first 5 minutes. The hot butt check-in is happening today. First time back in the middle of August, we did a preseason version. Now we're going to see where we're at now and also look back at our predictions once upon a day.
And that is a Mark bot. I didn't make those comments. They were made at another time, and now
Did you make those comments at another time?
Well, I can't deny that.
Well,
it's not a bot.
What's the difference?
It's just a record of your voice, just like
well,
this podcast.
I like a nice butt smack once in a while.
My body, my business.
Absolutely, I respect your bod, Mark. Let's start today's show, however, with closing the door on Week 10 Monday Night Football.
Three right, Garoppolo back on fourth down, throws over the middle. It's caught by Debo again. Breaks a tackle. He's going to run in the end zone for a touchdown. What a night by Debo Samuel on Monday Night Football. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Who is it, Ricky? Who's the call? Greg Papa with the call. And what a call it was by Kyle Shanahan. Pulls the trigger on a fourth down pass from Jimmy G to Debo Samuel, who was all world. He took it to the house. It was the clinching score in a 31-10 49ers victory over the Rams. And, Greg, when we were teeing up this game late last week, I had made the comment that I thought this was such a big game in Kyle Shanahan's career. only because, not because I thought he was really, his butt was scorching hot, and we're going to get to that in a little bit, but because the scrutiny had never been higher, and if the Rams came to San Francisco and just lit up the Niners, not only would the Niners be dead and buried pretty much in the playoff race, it would just be such a bad look for a division rival to come in and do that to you. But instead, it gets turned on its ear, and it's completely the other direction. And I thought not only was this reaffirming that Kyle Shanahan is a great offensive coach and a great guy to have leading the charge for the Niners, it also completely shifts and resets the NFC playoff picture for me, at least in the wild card area.
Yeah, because you get, if you're a 49ers team, you come out of this game feeling good, going to the Jaguars next week, hope to get to 5-5. They are a frisky 6 or 7 seed candidate, and it's just a reminder, A, matchups matter, and B, players matter. Like, they've won this matchup 5 times in a row, and I remember the first one when we were in London watching the game on a screen from the hot toddy, and those big 49ers defensive linemen and their big offensive linemen just threw the Rams around all game, and that was coming off the Rams Super Bowl year, and it was like, oh wow, this 49ers team might be legit. They end up going to the Super Bowl, and this matchup has played out so similarly over the years. Not only did the 49ers line do a good job on defense messing with Matthew Stafford, it's more about the offensive players. It's more Trent Williams, one of the best left tackles in the league, is back. Debo Samuel is beasting on these third down contested catches. But oh, by the way, so is Brandon Ayuk. So is George Kittle. On defense, they get back Kawan Williams, who did a great job all night on the Rams. Who was it? On Cooper Kupp some of the night. They're healthier with Jimmy Ward back much of the night. Like, the 49ers have had a lot of injuries this year, and they had the game plan in this game to just get everyone to write the Rams are soft articles, which if you're a division rival, you are loving today with, like, Kyle Brandt and everyone just being like, this team, you push them around a little bit and they cave, and they have nothing else they can say to that.
These national games create these, you know, I think if everyone who loved football was able to watch all these games at night together, we would be, our knowledge as a fan base, as an overall, like, football collective fan base would be doubled, tripled, quadrupled, because you're just in, you're buried in depth in a game like this, and I enjoyed every minute of it. It's not really a negative take on the Rams when I say that. It's my kind of football game. The way that the Niners came out, and on their first drive, they eat up 11 minutes. They have an 8-minute drive later in the game, a 6-minute drive. That's 25 minutes. They dominated the time of the possession. They wore out the LA defense, and I would fight back against the notion that really any NFL team is fundamentally soft. But it reminds me of how those old Jeff Fisher Rams teams, which were typically underwhelming in every possible way, would go beat up Seattle. That they had something about the matchup. They were able to do it to Russell Wilson, Seahawks, and to that defense as well. And I look at this game, and it just leaves me wondering, who are the Rams? They cannot necessarily survive in a tough NFC if you're going to get the Stafford turnovers combined with getting beat up the way they were last night. It's fair to ask if they're physical enough, but I look at this team, and I think they'll get out of it. But you can't have Stafford. You can't get into trouble the way he did last evening.
And I'll kind of push back a little bit in that the fact that these last two Rams games were island games, primetime games, everybody watching it, and it caught them at a time when they're not playing very well, people are just going to kind of go nuts and build these type of narratives. And I don't buy it. I think
they got smoked, though, three times. Hey, they've lost 3 times this year, and they got smoked off.
I get it.
That's noteworthy.
I get it, but also noteworthy is like a greater above the treetops viewpoint of the NFL where we are right now. Andy Reid came out and said it yesterday that the parity in the league is out of control right now. And I don't see a big difference between a lot of these teams. So because there's no big difference, I don't see, a lot of these games aren't really upsets, even though it felt like, oh yeah, the Rams should take care of business. What is the real difference ultimately between the Niners and the Rams? And San Francisco had played so poorly at home. In fact, this was their first win at Levi Stadium in 393 days. It should be noted that they didn't play there during the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, but they'd been so bad at home. So I think I take out of this game more like, okay, the 49ers at 4-5 are cooking now and have a chance to get hot with Jimmy G playing much better in recent weeks, with with George Kittle back, with Deebo Samuel going off, with Brandon Ayuk looking better and the defense looking better. Whereas the Rams, let's check back in a couple of weeks, and I would be surprised if we're still talking about
the Rams. It's a bad matchup for them that they're going to have to play again. And who knows, you might play in the playoffs again. And it's a certain style, which I think Tennessee has too. I mean, these are maybe the two biggest teams just physically in the NFL, and they had their way with the Rams. And so if you come up against one of those types of teams, it's like this strange, you know, matchup circle that keeps happening in the NFC West. The Rams own the Seahawks. The Seahawks own the 49ers. The 49ers own the Rams. And now the Cardinals get in the mix, and they have their own issue too. But that little circle with these same coaches has been going on for years now, and I think it's a problem. I think the Von Miller trade told me on some level what they felt about their defense. I think that it wasn't necessarily a bad trade, but I think it was a trade for a team that wasn't just like adding pieces, but felt like they needed it. And I think at least in this game, you can see why.
I don't buy that, though. They're a team that's trying to get better, that has
they gave up a second and third round pick for like a plus starter. To me, that says like they weren't confident in their defense.
They wanted to get better.
Yeah.
They wanted to win the Super Bowl this year. They still do. And I'll leave it to other talking head morning shows to go crazy about Odell and Vaughn being quiet in the first games. Let's give that a little time to marinate. But at the same time, like, the pressure is on here. And I think you need to get this straightened out and get the season back on the right track. I'm confident they will, though. I think the Rams are going to be okay here.
You said that you were pushing back on what I mentioned before, but I think we're in the same camp. I think what I find frustrating, though, is that as analysts / fans, like, we are stuck weekly giving good teams mulligans over and over for performances. Like, Sean McVay didn't walk out of this thinking, hey, I'm confident in who we are. I mean, his comments after it, I thought, were about as distressed as I've heard him during his entire run with the Rams, that he needs to go into their bye and think deeply about what happened over the last 2 weeks.
I'm not saying to give the Rams a mulligan here. Like the Cowboys last week, that's a perfect example. That's a mulligan game. The Rams, even maybe against the Titans, that loss, maybe a mulligan. When you stack two bad games, okay, something's up here. You have to get it diagnosed and fixed. And I just think they have the coaching and the players to get that done.
It's not a panic scenario, but you're going to run into, if you're the Rams, a situation where you're going to play cold weather games down the stretch, brutal games against teams that are built more toughly than you are along the lines. I know the Rams' offensive line has been solid and better than expected this year, but I mean, I don't think that this is a team that's built to go.
I don't think it was on the line.
The soft is not, like, I don't think any one of us are saying that, though.
It's the lines. Well, here's what it is. Them getting bodied on all these contested, and they were just smaller. And it was I don't think the offensive line necessarily, although they couldn't run the ball. They didn't really have to try that much. But I think they got pushed around defensively. I mean, that's what it was. It was a game of keep away, and their defense could not get off the field in that game. And Stafford is an inconsistent quarterback. There's this idea that he was going to become a different person outside of Detroit. And of course the Rams offense is going to make him different, but he's just not a guy that week to week throughout his NFL career that you're like, that pass is going to be on the money. Like in this game, it wasn't too much more for me with Stafford other than just like he missed a lot of throws.
A lot of drops, though, too. The absence of Robert Woods was noticeable on the Manning cast. Peyton Manning brought it up multiple times. I totally agree. I mean, the pick six that really turned the game was on a blatant drop by Tyler Higbee. Van Jefferson dropped the ball that should have been a touchdown. The game was a little out of hand at that point, but to my point, even Cooper Kupp, who did most of his damage in garbage time, he had a drop. I mean, I just thought it
like
just
the first,
had a bad
the
game.
First, the inter- yeah, he had a bad game. The first interception where he just skies one, that's just a missed throw.
Right.
There were two or three of those early, and then you think of like the red zone sequence late when the game was over, I know, but Stafford was scrambled. On third down, he runs 5 yards past the line of scrimmage instead of running in. And
I agree,
throws
but that was
it.
After the Jefferson drop.
But then literally the next play, it's fourth and goal, and he threw it into the stands. That's like when you see that, you're just like, what is that? I don't want that out of my veteran quarterback. Dak Prescott's not throwing that ball into the stands. Neither is Tom Brady. It was just like
Right, but 10 years of tape with Matthew Stafford, the Rams knew that was going to creep up at some point. I would say this, though. The drops are not characteristic of the Rams. That stuff will go away. You won't see those mistakes week to week to some degree. But Kyle Shanahan basically said, We wanted to run the ball 40 times, and we were going to find out real early if we could do it. The Rams let them in. The Rams were the first team this year that allowed the Niners to look like the Niners that we expected to see.
They
that
had 28 runs to 11 passes for Jimmy to start that game. And speaking of the Manning cast, just they kept noting how the Rams just couldn't cover the middle of the field the whole night, and that no matter what happened, they would not change their defensive philosophy, which essentially is not going to crowd the line of scrimmage. So they were just still begging them to run the ball, even up 24-7. You got to be able to change
during
the game.
Perfect timing for the Rams to have a bye here. See if they can get things straightened out, and we'll see how they look on the other side. Yes, our schedule.
Get OBJ into the mix. I mean, that is a big factor. You lose Woods. We hadn't done a show since then, and that is a leader on their team, a captain on their team. OBJ is not going to be heavily involved 2 days after being on the team. Anyone taking much out of that is going a little crazy. He played like 12 snaps. But you want to use the bye week to get him into a big role.
I'm pressing the pause button on that one. We'll see what happens, but it's not as easy as people think, I promise you.
You did play Pop Warner. You did.
I am coming from the having, you know, been rooting for him for years to emerge. Like it's
no,
just,
I
just
to that point. You know, yeah. This is not like Odell hate hour.
We're not going nuts.
Just saying
Odell.
When Odell signed with the Rams, it was like, okay, that's a good spot for him to have a role on that offense as long as they can keep him happy and involved. Now with Woods' injury, now he slides into a very vital role in that offense. And the Rams need him to be a big-time player. I think it's an interesting
And he's not Woods. We already know that. Like, they're not the same player. They don't do the same thing.
All right. So there you go. Monday Night Football. There's the recap. There you go. Let's take a break.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. UndercoverTourist.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
We will now talk butts. We can talk butts and not get canceled because we're not objectifying the butts.
They're just hot. Temperature wise.
I mean, I wouldn't say I dare you to cancel me. No. I'm not this is not a challenge.
That's not a good move. That's not something you should be verbally.
I'm just saying don't take this the wrong way. We're not talking about the physical bodies, and we're not, you know what I'm saying, everybody. I think it's important, Greg, to have that qualifier. Greg's I'm going to send a tweet to
you. I'm just listening to you.
Okay.
Send a tweet to
Greg's
Schefter.
Like, bury yourself, Hanses.
No.
Bury yourself.
I don't believe in I don't think canceling is a thing, but we don't need to go down that road.
Oh, okay. Well, that will be the next segment of the show. Counterpoint on the cancel culture that doesn't exist or does.
Bring back our old column, he said, he said.
Cancel culture column. Love it.
Can't be doing that column now.
Get old, see if Rogers is free after his McAfee appearance today.
Let's get to it. All right, so like I said, we, as we do every year, we talked about all the coaches, 32 coaches in the league. Unfortunately, and again, this isn't a celebration, it's a fact of the matter that the NFL has incredible churn and turnover, at the head coach position every year. Anywhere between, let's say, 5 and 8 guys. That's like a quarter. It could be up to a quarter of the league lose their jobs on that Black Monday, as it's called. So it's coming. The axe is coming for a lot of coaches. So back on August 16th, I'm looking at the list now, and I want to just make a couple points about the old list before we turn to the conversation where we are now. The three coaches that we had as third-degree hot butt was Nagy, Zach Taylor, and Greg. You had pounded the table for Vic Fangio, which I thought was interesting. And for second-degree hot butt entering the season, we all agreed Cliff Kingsbury. Me and Greg both thought Mike McCarthy was second-degree hot butt. Mike Zimmer, Dan and Greg thought it was a hot seat for him. And then, Greg, you thought Joe Judge was in more trouble than people realized.
Was I on this show? I feel like I – did I log any comments at all?
Maybe you were out on the fence a little bit. Here you go. Here's some Mark Sessler. First-degree, which meant, you know, I think they're probably okay, but keep an eye on it. And this is maybe an interesting category for the purposes of this conversation in November. Pete Carroll, Fangio for Dan and Mark. Dan had Gruden, which was not how I saw it playing out, but Gruden did lose his job. Joe Judge, I had Zimmer. Mark, you had Zimmer at first degree, and Mark, you also had Mike McCarthy, first degree hot butt. Now,
it's interesting, those three coaches at the very bottom. Right now, Zach Taylor's feeling no pain. He's win 2 more games the rest of the season. There's no way you're changing Zach Taylor. Vic Fangio, despite being 5-5, I would keep him right there because I just feel like it's playoffs or bust and they're going to want to make a change. And Nagy feels like he's in the same spot ultimately. Like, we don't really know, but I don't think he's done enough to feel any different.
So I kind of – I don't know if you guys did anything like this, but I put together my kind of list, updated list, and I do have 6 names that I think I labeled it as hot AF and a lot of trouble. And then when you again, 5 to 8 guys. So it's a list of guys that are in a lot of trouble right now. But just I'll cycle real quick and tell me when to stop. This category is Don't Be Stupid. This is not even up for debate. And this is all alphabetical order, just so everybody knows. This isn't the order of their safety here. But Arians, Belichick, Harbaugh, McVay, Peyton, Reed, and Tomlin. Not even a question. Not involved with this segment. Everybody good with that?
Absolutely.
No issues.
I'd probably add some names. Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. So the next category for me is safe AF. So they're very safe.
This very
is
good.
Not unless
yeah.
something crazy happens between now and January. Again, alphabetical order. Mark.
Okay.
Kingsbury, LaFleur, McCarthy, McDermott, Shanahan, Vrabel. You want to put a couple of those guys up there in the don't even bring them up?
But sure. LaFleur, I mean, he's right now the greatest coach in NFL history, winning percentage-wise. But McCarthy's that one that I keep saying, if they like lost an ugly playoff game, I could see them elevating Kellen Moore. We don't need to keep having that same conversation. But
I know, you do love that.
I really do think that it's okay. Possible. If something weird happened and teams are trying to hire Kellen Moore, which feels like a very plausible scenario.
So I think what the next category, which I have labeled as they good, yeah. is where you see McCarthy, and it should yeah. be noted, we just talked about the desert odds. McCarthy is second right now, odds for coach of the year. So I think he's in good shape, but you never know. Dallas, it could be a volatile place. They good, Mark. Alphabetical.
All right, good. From A to Z.
Frank Reich, Matt Rhule, Ron Rivera, Robert Saleh, Nick Sirianni, Arthur Smith, Brandon Staley, Kevin Stefanski.
A lot of coaches with last names beginning now, with S's there.
Thank you for noticing that. This is fascinating to me. I just named 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 coaches, all of them with a last name that started with an R or an S. That's weird.
Yeah, all in the same category.
In the same category.
That is an oddity that's not occurred,
category.
I think.
That would be Mark's category.
Reich, right. Rhule, Rivera, Rosenthal, Saleh, Sirianni, Smith, Staley, Stefanski, Sessler.
Well, you put that out
Mark
of order.
Mark Stefanski, that has a nice ring to it, doesn't
you put my name actually out of order alphabetically.
I'm sorry.
You put me last, which suggests something else.
Rivera probably should be there, you're right. But he is the one of that group that stands out to me as...
You're the one who talked me out of that. I was saying that like a week ago.
Really?
You're like, nah, screw you, Hanses.
Just because it's that organization. But you're probably right.
Oh, I think Rivera is as safe. I think he's extremely safe.
I think he is. I changed my mind again. It's just that team I don't believe in.
Do you, Mark, do you have an issue with me having Stefanski and they good as opposed to safe AF?
2 weeks ago, I would have
right,
had a
right
very
now.
Large
oh,
issue.
I think he's safe AF.
He's done too much, and he's brought too much calm to the organization, and I think he's flat out a good coach. So, I mean, unless something insane occurred, I think he should be safer maybe.
Okay,
the Browns, who Jimmy Haslin, who has now a fear and anxiety about being labeled an owner who cycles through coaches, is not firing the 2020 coach of the year 1 year later.
But it also just would be not...
Unless they went 5-12 and Stefanski, you know,
well,
like out at bars or something.
The truth here is the only reason I had him at a safe as AF is because the nature, and this is recency bias, the fact that there's grumbling and there's some discontent and you had the Odell soap opera. Is it possible there could be the locker room gets out of hand? But I kind of overrule myself there. And if, Greg, you think he should be safe AF, why don't we pop him up there? It does kind of – I like that there was all these S's and R's here.
It interrupts that part of the process, but I think people will forget about that aspect.
You think so? Okay, good. So we'll move Stefanski up to safe AF. He has earned it. He's a very good coach. He is the reigning coach of the year. All right, now, Ricky, now we turn up the gas burners. All right. So the last category was they good.
They good.
This one is they good.
Okay.
Question mark is essential there.
Yeah.
All right. And I mentioned it in the they good category, we had 6 first-year coaches here. Sala, Sirianni, Smith, and Staley. And then Campbell and Urban Meyer. I have Campbell and Urban Meyer in the they good category. Pete Carroll I have in they good. Zach Taylor and Mike Zimmer. Mm.
I would
Wibbles.
Put. I think Mike Zimmer is maybe I'm just projecting my own feelings about the Mike Zimmer era. I think he'd be in the next hotter category for me, based on the Vikings. Just let's say they melt away, as I think they're wont to do. The Mike Zimmer experience feels like it's run a little long at this point.
Right. You have days like that Chargers game. And you know, the football tape heads will come away from being like, Mike Zimmer's still one of the best defensive play callers in the league. Like, he has games where he just gives you a huge advantage. But if they go 7-10 and whatever that ending would entail, I think he's gone. So I would make him I would make him higher. Just because, like, they just can't keep cycling back. This group, Spielman and Zimmer, have been together forever. Spielman's been there for 15 plus years. I think he probably sticks around, but I think they would make a change if they don't make the playoffs.
All right. And I have the last category, the names. I had Bisacci in there, but I think that's a little unfair. And also it's weird because he's an interim coach. So I'm going to pull Bisacci out with the caveat that I think it'd be very hard for him to be the head coach next year.
Bisacci bumped.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening. So this is the final category. I grouped them all together because I think they're all in trouble here. Hot AF. A lot of discomfort, as you can hear.
This was a grueling session for this guy. Recording booth. He was there for hours.
David Culley. So the one first-year guy that I've been pounding the drum on this one for a while. I just think he was put in an impossible situation, in a temporary hold situation, just to get through a really bad year. A year that the organization is going to try to do everything in their power to kind of strike from the record. And it's not David Culley's fault. He's a veteran guy that got this gig. But, man, I could just see the Texans doing a hard pivot to a whole new era and wanting to disassociate entirely with 2020, quarterback, coach, players, the whole thing. So I have him on the hot AF list. Also, Fangio. I just think Vic's in a lot of trouble. He wouldn't be here if we did this 1 week ago. And that Cowboys win, I was bullish about the Broncos. I know a lot of people were. And then they went back right back to being an underachieving team. And Teddy, by the way, apologized.
He did.
And I don't think he was forced to, like, the media got on him and Twitter got crazy. The way he put it, Greg, he watched the tape, and it was a hard watch with his teammates on Monday, and he addressed it, which was good, and that's because he's a good guy. So I'm not piling on here.
No, it was good. It's been a tough couple of days in the Teddy discourse, but I'm glad, and I'm not surprised as a leader. He seemed to realize watching it was worse than he imagined.
Well, also, I mean, I can imagine that there was, because it was such a story, that in that room where you've got all your team around you and your coaches, and they probably slowed it down, watching a
Vic
little
Fangio
slow motion,
said he
different
brought
angles.
That play up, you know, for the entire team to watch together, which is, it is funny because, like, if you watch
Vic turning up
right,
the heat,
you watch Tom Brady after his interceptions in Washington or this year, he literally doesn't move a muscle. And I think that's smart if you're Tom Brady.
Right. But, well, if you're Tom Brady.
Yeah, I guess.
The greatest quarterback in the history of the
sport. It just looked, optics-wise, it was a disaster.
It's more that the player ran right by him and he ran right next to him and then veered off. He should have just, like, kind of got
he, you know what? The only mistake, well, besides the on-field mistake, and I didn't like people, like, firing back. He almost lost a leg. It's like, I get that. And
that
everyone respects the hell out of Teddy for what he was able to do to get back on the field. But it was obviously, it put the team at a disadvantage by, that was the game-changing play. Anyway.
Baker Mayfield's season changed by doing one of these plays against the Texans. So there is a conversation about
right.
how much do you want your quarterbacks to be tackling on.
Jerry Jones saying he doesn't want Dak Prescott barreling into people as a runner either. I mean, it's just like you lose those guys, everything goes south.
I disagree on Cully because he got a 5-year contract, and the only way I see that happening is if ownership blows up Caserio, the GM they paid so much and did all this to bring from New England, like, unless he's gone. If Caserio is there, Cully's there. What did they expect out of this year?
I see where Dan is coming from. I see him as a total kind of Patsy Lee Harvey Oswald type figure who could be swept out of there. But you then have to turn around and find someone to come handle the head coaching duties of this messy organization. And I'm not sure he's
right.
willing to do it.
One
he may be
year.
The only human that's willing to do it right now.
I think it's one more year. And I would put Pete Carroll into this category, hot AF.
Really?
I would.
I do have just
right now they got the Cardinals coming in. You got your quarterback and him. I don't know, like one way or another.
You have been on this Carroll thing, and I can get where you're coming from, Greg. But you have to also look at the overall Pete Carroll experience in Seattle, what he's done. I mean, this is like he's been as successful as you could ask.
And his defense is playing better right now. But if they go 6-11 and Russ wants out,
you got to get someone better.
It's going to be one or the other.
All right, let's move then to the rest of the hot AF category. Vic Fangio, we on board with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
It's really the new GM, George Payton, too, who I think wants a new coach.
Brian Flores. Now, maybe you can put him in the they good category, but I just think Flores is in a lot of trouble in what's been one of the more disappointing seasons for Miami football in a while. Joe Judge, I have him on a very hot seat, and I think he kind of is caught up organizationally with the GM's probably going to get swept out, Gettleman, and the new GM's going to probably want his own guy, so I think Judge is in trouble there. And then I keep Matt Nagy where he was in August, which is on the hottest of the hot seats.
It's interesting how few clear cases there are here. To me, Nagy is – even he's not clear because ownership there is so strange. There's so many Bears fans – that are worried Justin Fields playing well down the stretch, even if they go 6-11, will mean they keep Nagy because of ownership. I don't know. Like, it should go without saying the last 8 or 9 games matter so much. Like, if you finish 4-4, owners have a tendency to look the other way. Fangio seems to me the clearest. If he doesn't make the playoffs, he's out. Nagy, I'm with you. And then the rest, it just seems a little gray, a little grayer than usual.
But in our league, these owners and the teams – they'll make change for the sake of change.
Right.
There's a reason it's always
2 or 3 of these
eight.
Coaches will go. It will go horribly for in the next 8 games.
Right.
Like, there's the flip side of that. And if that happens to any of these guys, I'm with you.
I mean, the Bears ownership has been very patient with Matt Nagy, very patient with GM Ryan Pace. And I wonder if that's their MO in general is too much patience, where another team, Matt Nagy, would have been out 2 years ago.
You got Virginia McCaskey. She's 98 years old. She's still
goes
going.
Every game.
She's a mover and shaker.
Every road game. She just might like
Mark. You've
she might like Matt Nagy and be like, I like these boys.
Yeah, that's
I
true.
Like these young guys.
That's ageism, Greg. But I'll let it slide.
Well, he is 50 years younger than her.
I'm not saying the boys thing. That you're suggesting just because she's 92 that she's not thinking critically about like her hires.
You have expressed doubt, Mark, about a change happening. Do you want to put a sandwich on the line? Black Monday, Nagy's one of the guys that goes. Maybe not that week exactly, but he will be out of a job.
I will do it. Why not?
Because you're going to have to buy me a sandwich, hypothetically.
That's fine. I'll buy you one.
We're on.
I also think that I do think he should go. I'm not arguing that he shouldn't.
Right.
I just don't trust the Bears to do the right thing.
Just
I
consider
they will.
15 years from now, roughly, for you, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
You will be as 98 old.
Years old.
You will be as old as the Bears owner was when Matt Nagy was born. That's all I'm saying. It's a big age difference. She's going to see him as a young man.
Mathematically, you are dead on.
He's grid. A whippersnapper, this Matthew Nagy. Give him an extension.
All right.
a better record than Kyle Shanahan, they tell me.
Oh, ouch.
All right, let's move
lot.
Forward. All right, so there you go. That is the, hot butt check-in. And that was not any commentary on their actual anatomy. So, yeah, don't got me on that. I thought Mark made some comments that felt more physically based earlier in the show.
I did not at all.
But I think you might have been talking about your own butt. So I think you're in the clear.
Yeah, I'm allowed to say anything I want about my own
like a nice
physical.
Butt smack once in a while.
Right, well.
But that's out of context, I would imagine.
But also you're saying, I like a nice butt smack every once in a while, so you're asking someone to do it to you. Now we're getting back into the realm of the gray.
I like a nice butt smack once in a while.
Out of context, because I believe I was talking about a team getting their butt smacked by another team. I believe that's what that
judge.
Was. What judge?
All right, there you go. Let's take a break, and then we'll hit the TNF preview.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. Undercover Tourist.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
But I know you're gonna like it in my city. Take it, Connie.
I don't know where we are, the lyrics. Yeah. Everybody, welcome to my city. This is the second time I've heard the song.
No, 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 no worries here.
I know you're gonna like it in my city.
Oh, yeah, take it away. Thursday night football preview, and joining us, per tradition, the great, come on, you know, that Will I Am production slathered all over, Priyanka, we got to lose that.
She seems naive to what happens in certain places in most any city, but I like her optimism around the whole thing.
I'm going to throw something out there,
yes.
And it might not be that popular,
okay.
But I think that the official song of Thursday Night Football should be Young Jeezy Put On.
Boo.
How dare you
boo this woman?
Come on.
No, that would be good.
You have a lot of say, so that could happen.
Well, it's your choice.
Yeah,
our?
It's sort of your show.
you got Robert Hunt on your show. That was
yes!
You, right? That was you.
Oh, I kept texting the producers, and
he does
then
have some juice.
I took my message to Twitter, and then all of a sudden.
Oh, smart.
Robert Hunt. Yeah.
So, and Robert Hunt, of course, is the folk hero, the offensive lineman for the Dolphins. That's a good get. And we were hoping leading into the game that Justin Tucker would win the game,
yeah.
And you'd be able to get a kicker up there. But to get a guard who had an amazing non-touchdown, that's what we're looking for.
He was upside down at one point. We gave him the slash guitar post-game, and apparently he was playing the guitar in the locker room, which was great.
That's
yeah.
Nice. All right.
It's a wonderful story.
Truly.
That was then. This is now. Coming up on Thursday, the New England Patriots travel to the Mercedes-Benz Dome.
Bingo.
To face the Falcons. And I'd love to say, and this is Connie's part of her job, is to give it some juice. I'd love to say this feels like a great game. And Thursday night, weird as hell. I'll preface it that way. Anything could happen. Look at the Ravens and Dolphins last week, for example. But the Falcons just got humiliated by the Cowboys. They won't have Cordarrelle Patterson, who has an injury, most likely. He's out. Sell it, Connie. Why? How do the Falcons stop the Patriots from going off?
You know, I always have a hard time with whether or not it's Cordarrelle or Cordarrelle.
I said Cordarrelle, but it's now, up for interpretation.
That's going to be a big storyline heading into this game.
Yes.
Because he's been so good for them. And I just feel like coming off of last week.
Why are we so close together?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm on my spot.
I know. That's a little overly intimate here. Kids
rubbing elbows finger. At the
little finger point.
Table.
Well, you were singing together. Now you're not.
We were.
So.
Oh, right. We were separate, sharing please. Lyrics.
Right. Go ahead.
Okay, so maybe after what happened last week with the Falcons, they kind of can come to a little bit. It's just it's such a bummer without.
They did beat the Saints two games ago.
That's true.
Right. I want more for Matt Ryan. I feel like he doesn't deserve all of this. He doesn't have time to throw. He doesn't have his skill position players out there. He doesn't have a defense. There are a lot of things that have gone against Matt Ryan, and maybe this will be the first time that they can win at home this season, because they haven't done it yet for their fans. But it's Thursday Night Football, and I feel like the weirdest stuff happens. It always goes sideways. Look at last week. The whole pregame show, the whole week, I spent talking about the Ravens, and they were coming off of that effort the week before where they looked so good and Lamar Jackson was back in the MVP conversation, and then the Dolphins defense just lit them up.
Right.
So who knows? I think that this could be the get right game for the Falcons.
Whoa,
get right.
Selling.
This isn't even lockable in our game. This is a 7-point spread.
Oh, really? Greggy. It moved. It started at 6.
I don't actually believe that the Patriots are going to win.
Because I would be happy to end my long, long losing streak. Try to, at least. It's hard to make a case for them. I really think Cordarrelle Patterson is the Jenga piece for them, because he got hurt. It's supposedly a high ankle sprain. The Falcons are saying that it'll come down to game time, but our guy Ian Rapoport does not think he's playing. Not only was he hurt, but Hayden Hurst, who's a good tight end, a great number two tight end,
very good,
got hurt in that game too, is also out. So now it's just Kyle Pitts. Calvin Ridley, you know, is still on the reserve list.
Give some respect to Russell Gage.
Russell Gage is fine, but you're going to be double teaming Kyle Pitts all game. You're going to probably put J.C. Jackson on Gage, and it's a lot to ask. Like, Matt Ryan is either a top five quarterback when he's protected, or he's like a total disaster.
You agree, Mark?
I guess at this point, it's like just CGI me into the show.
Well, you weren't saying anything, Mark. I wanted to get you in there. You
Thank
know?
You.
She's
that's
looking
a,
out.
That's a good producer.
She's doing her work. I mean, like, let's,
Mark, do you think Erica is a good producer?
Oh, yeah. I'd keep my answer similar. Wouldn't be exactly the same.
Go ahead.
I like Mark. A nice butt smack once in a while.
Got it. We got that.
All right. Well, you want to drop the song on me while I'm saying whatever I'm about to say too? Be my guest. The floor is yours. I would just say this Patriots team, and we're not talking about, like, there's no boundary. Like, there's no boundary lines for them at this
you
point.
You put them in the Super Bowl before last
Hell yeah.
Year. You also picked the Browns, so I'm not going to give you too much credit.
Oh, yeah. Well, you giving me credit is not what I'm concerned about. But they have gone from child in this season to preteen to young man, and they are becoming raging adults. And they, at this point, I'd say Bill Belichick is back, my and they are, like, I look at a team that simply,
yes. Right,
what are their, you know, they're going to be as perfectly coached as possible. The Falcons have the worst pass rush in the league. They're decimated on offense. I guess you can throw the ball to Kyle Pitts 25 times and attempt that, but nothing on paper, and it happened last week, I hear you, suggests that the Patriots go in and have a kind of game where they don't take the Falcons seriously and crumble. The way they've been running the ball too, I mean, you can gash Atlanta right up the middle all you want. I mean, there were moments in that Dallas game where they're cutting to Mike McCarthy and he's trying to hold back giggles on the sideline after what Dallas was able to do with every aspect of their offense. It's a terrible spot for Atlanta to be on national television.
Yeah, red ass week. It ended very, very differently than the Falcons wanted, for sure.
Yes, it did.
what Mike McCarthy was talking about and what he wanted. That's the result that he was aiming for all week. But Mac Jones, he's been doing so well. He's been playing awesome. And not to mention, as you said, the running game, 184 rushing yards for the Patriots last week. Ramondre Stevenson, hello, my friend. How are you? Are you going to be our postgame guest?
Love their backfield. It doesn't sound like Damian Harris is going to return.
What just happened?
I don't know.
Who would be a good guest for them?
Probably Mac Jones.
Mac Jones would
gotta
be.
Gotta have Mac.
Seems fitting. Right.
Would he be good, though?
Have you heard Mac Jones recently? Yeah. He's been fully programmed by Patriot Way.
He kind of was already.
As long as we protect the football and matriculate down the field, we will be successful.
Connie Fox can get something out of him, though.
He
I know you
like
have
that
to
begin with. You know who's good is J.C. Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Who you could see picking off Matt Ryan a couple times. He's got a personality.
Okay.
You like the J.C. Jackson choice, Mark.
I'm thrilled by what's happening.
Life's going to get harder for Mac. After this week, it's Titans, Bills, Colts, Bills. Four really good pass defenses.
Yes.
So that'll be a bigger test. This doesn't figure to be it. It's Dean Pease on the other side, longtime Patriots defensive coordinator, who is one of those game plan guys where it's either all good or all terrible. He'll probably try to throw a lot at Mac Jones, but they should have mismatches everywhere.
And if this game does get weird, because Thursday night football's weird as hell, you know who's a really good-ass kicker? Younghoe Koo. So if we want to continue to put a little focus on, keep an eye on the kickers, he seems like a dude that might be worth checking in on the old.
He's in the Younghoe club, Koo. Right?
He's in the kicker.
Very strong, too. We were standing about 5 to 10 feet from Younghoe Koo throughout the London game. Big, big man. A lot of muscles and very angry many times during the game. He threw a helmet into one of those.
Well, Greg, this is pro football.
Nets. Fiery,
this is
how I like
how
it.
Works. He threw his helmet like 15
like a kicking
yards.
Kicking net?
Yeah.
Yeah, the kicking net. That was it.
Very thick bodied
All right.
for a kicker.
Now, Colleen,
yes.
What else do we need to talk about before we say goodbye?
We need to talk about the fact that we haven't hung out in a
How
while,
are you?
Guys.
Yes.
I miss you.
Should address that. It is, you know, the dynamic of our friendship group during the season. It's just not going to happen a lot of social gatherings. But I did, and I'm going to open this up and let, you guys know, I do plan to host a pre-party get-together ahead of the holiday bash. And you guys are invited
to
Hansa.
I like a butt smack once in a while.
You're invited to Hansa's Manor. Mark, especially you.
That's Thank you. I will be there. I promise you.
I cannot wait. I love a party.
Where is the holiday
party? Summer of Connie has been on ice.
That SoFi this
but
year.
I get to come out for
so
one night
kind of
during
on the
season.
Way. I like that.
Very good.
You've been on ice? I missed what you just said.
The summer of Connie is
right.
on ice, but I do get to come out like one night every season.
How is Gonzo?
And that's the Christmas party. What?
Uh-oh.
How's Gonzo?
There we go. Here goes Mark.
How is he?
Doing?
He's great. He has a big announcement
John Ronald Gonzalez, born March 12, 1977, is an American sports writer who's married to NFL media broadcaster Colleen Wolf. John, who's a Pisces, resides in Los Angeles with his wife and two dogs.
Like, Greg wishes he was married to John Gonzalez.
No.
Watch out, Connie.
No. Oh, yeah.
Should I be worried?
No.
Am I going to find you at the house when
we
I come
just
home
J&J
from
brothers.
Thursday Night Football?
It's a J&J brotherhood that we share.
It says something about Gonzo that was recorded 4 or 5 years ago, and no updates have been needed. Like, he's just staying.
Well, that's
in
true.
And I kind of think it speaks to his consistency. I'm not going to get pulled into something where you're trying to create a controversy between me and Gonzo. It speaks to his nature.
And we don't want to have to re-record it either, so just keep things the way they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing is changing anytime soon.
Okay, good.
Yeah. No problem.
All right. So, Colleen will shuffle off to Atlanta in her private jet and make sure you check her out on NFL Network's coverage of Thursday Night Football. And we will be back on Thursday with our Week 11 preview. Can you believe it? Week 11 already here.
How many more weeks of TNF do you have? It's already.
I think our last one is Christmas Day.
Okay.
So
it's coming.
Yeah.
You're traveling on
Christmas. We have off next week for Thanksgiving
nice.
And then New Orleans, Minnesota,
Miami.
Chargers, Tennessee, and then
Miami?
We have like a couple. No, we already did Miami.
That was last week.
Maybe they would go back to Miami. I don't
so
know.
Gonzo is spending Christmas alone, Greg. That's an update.
I'm going to wrap up Greg as a gift for John.
Miami.
I remember when my family used to leave me on Christmas.
What, your childhood family?
No. Feels,
tell us more
wife,
about
my
that.
My wife and children. Yeah, they would leave me here alone. We'd have to celebrate. We'd pretend Christmas was like a week before.
Yeah.
So that they could get a couple weeks. So
can't really pretend that, though.
You didn't deserve
that. But then the pandemic hit and you're stuck here, bitch. is. Yeah.
All right. There we go. That is a just a real nice snapshot into the whole group today. Mark, do you think we've covered everything?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. All right. So then we can get going.
Perfect.
This is Dan Hansa signing off for The Tiny Box, The Quiet Storm, The Old Boss, Rick. Let's call it Rick.
Wow. Guttural.
All right. Until Thursday, you know what to do. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. Undercover Tourist.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.